Thank you all for being here tonight. I'd like to, just from UPC, I'd like to say thank you to the elders here at Henderson. I'd like to say thank you for Ray for giving UPC this spot. I'm not sure why TJ insisted on me doing this. I know that I went like an hour last time, so that's not going to happen again, I promise. But sincerely, I really do thank you for this opportunity for UPC to come here and keep going with this student devotional series. Like TJ said, the topic that we had this week, we've had three awesome speakers so far. The topic that we've had has been, who is he? Finding Christ's definition. And that, it's kind of playing off what we've done all semester. We've looked and we've...
That is so loud.
For all of us. We've looked this semester at finding Christ's definition for who we are, right? We've gone through all, with our Monday night devotional series, finding out who Jesus is, or finding out who we are through Jesus' definition for us. Jesus calls us to be so many things in life. And so now we're gonna take a look at who Jesus is, so that we can serve Him, we can better know Him, and we can build a great relationship with Him, because that's the whole point of us being on this earth, is to build a relationship with the God who created us. So, first, I want to tell you who I am. Hi, I'm Michael. Sometimes I'm tardy to Henderson when I'm supposed to speak. There's a traffic jam. I work in Jackson, so sorry. I am a finance major here at Freed. I enjoy Tennessee football. I've got an unhealthy addiction to Diet Coke. There's just a lot of eccentric things about me. But that's kind of the rough draft of who I am. You know me pretty much the outer shell right there. So, but other than that, there's some things that you can be mistaken for. Do you know that when you come to college, you can convince anybody of who you actually are? I mean, anybody. You go into new stages of life and you can be anybody you want to be. To the world, I was this person, if you guys can switch. You may better know me as that person right there. That is a gentleman by the name of Uncle Mike. He is a fictional character. And believe it or not, there are some people out there who don't know if that's a real person, if that person is somebody who acts that way or not. But it's a fake person, obviously. I'm from the backwoods of, like, North Georgia. It's not, it's not at all. But that... The whole point of that is to say I fooled Paul Feinbaum for months into thinking that I was that person back there. Somebody who talked very Southern, who, just look it up on YouTube. But all that is to say is you can convince anybody that you are somebody that you are not. Isn't that scary? Isn't that crazy how God kind of gives you that ability to be creative. But at the same time, it's terrifying. You can put a facade up to be somebody completely different. So I want to tear away the facade sign. I'm going to ask a few questions. You can put a raise the hand, give a nod. I don't care. Just acknowledge that this question pertains to you. How many of us here can remember the highest point in our life? Sometime when you were just feeling great. It may have been when you accepted the current job that you have, when you had a child. I haven't experienced that. When I got into college, whatever. Anybody you've experienced, you can recall the highest point of your life thus far. Three. Awesome. There are three people here that remember that. Good. Let's try that again. If you can remember the highest point in your life thus far, can I please see a small raise of the hand? Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, if you can recall a time where you've remembered the lowest part of your life thus far, I understand some of us are like 20 and under, so your time range is limited. Lowest time. Can you remember that time? Keep that time locked in your head. The first one was just a buffer question to see how active you all were. So keep that feeling in your head when you remember the lowest time in your entire life. I want you to seriously think about how that felt. Now I want to ask this question. When you were at that lowest time in your life, did you ever live your life and led people to believe that you are perfectly okay? I have. All the time. I want you to remember that. At the lowest points in our lives, there very rarely do we let the entire world, very rarely are we transparent in the way that we act towards people. We're not very transparent in our relationships. We like to hide those things. You don't want people to know that we're at a low point. All these questions are to conclude this. There are many times in life where we may not even let God know that we're at our lowest of lows. We may not even let God know that we are so poor in spirit. I know that all of us have experienced times when we've been poor in spirit. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting to be so frustrated, so angry, so nothing is going your way. It feels like you are trapped. But luckily, like Isaiah describes, God is there to be our strength in that time. Holding on to that feeling, I want you to listen again to the words that Isaiah said. The feeling that when you're at your lowest of low. Listen to how Isaiah describes it. Starting in verse 4 of chapter 25. He says, "For you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. But you subdue the noise of the foreigners as heat by the shade of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is put down." I'm reading through that and I feel it. I feel the imagery. I know that sounds really deep. I'm not that deep of a person, but I feel that. When I've been at my lowest of lows, I felt like, yes, the wind is pushing me up against the wall and I can't move. Can't go forward, can't go to the side, and I sure can't go backwards because something's sandwiching me in between the wind and moving backwards. And then it says, Isaiah describes even that Jesus or God is able to subdue the noise of the foreigners. You know that feeling where when you're so frustrated, you just feel like any noise can get to you? I was like that today. Where I work at the West Tennessee Healthcare Foundation. I'm a finance intern, if you can call it that, but it's really just answering phones. The doorbell was going off nonstop today. Nonstop. People coming in wanting to deposit checks, and I have to go answer the door, meaning I can't sit in a chair for more than 30 seconds without somebody coming and ringing the doorbell. And it was just one of those days. And that noise ringing in my head, that noise made it so frustrating. And when I read this by Isaiah, that's what I think of. When that noise comes, God is able to come in and he's able to shush the sound of the foreigners, the sound of the people that ring in your head, that eat in your brain. There, God is able to shush it. What Isaiah describes is the mere fact that God is there. God is there to be your strength. But that's not all of it. If we look at Matthew chapter 11, I asked Reed to read this as well. By the way, thank you guys for leading service for me. Three of these guys are my roommates. Brett, Bradford, and Mason are my roommates. And Reed is just a goober that lives across the hall. But I really appreciate him doing that. Matthew chapter 11. This passage is extremely, it's not foreign to us. We've heard it before. We've heard it again. But today, I want to look at this and I want to find peace in it. I want it to the words of God to reach out and give us not just the presence that Jesus is there to be your strength, but the peace of knowing that we have something that we have to do as well to find that strength. Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 through 29, read this. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So So we establish that God is there. God is there ready to be your strength, ready to be the one who frees you from the bondage when the winds howl at you, when it keeps you from moving. He's there to silence the noise in your head. He's there to silence the noise of the foreigners when you're feeling ensnared by your sin, where there's nothing else that you can possibly focus on. God is there to be your strength, to dig you out. But Jesus tells us something that I feel like that we don't look at near enough. I said that a lot of the times we try to put up a facade. We try to hide who we are from God. We try to hide that we're struggling with things, and maybe we don't. I feel like that, at least in my personal relationship with God, I 100% hide a lot of the things that I struggle with. I'm not very transparent with God. The one being that I can be transparent with and be comfortable, I choose not to. I choose to lay back in my struggle, and to lay back in my anxiety, and to lay back in my sin, knowing that God is there to be my strength. Jesus says, all you have to do is come. If you go to the next slide, I saw this picture today, and it may mean nothing to you. It may be something cheesy from like sermons.org. But when I look at that, I look at that picture, and it takes effort for you to be the person that's in the lower half of this picture, somebody who's going to reach out to God. It takes effort for you to look to God and not only accept that He's your strength, but accept that you are willing to receive help. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of courage for us as humans to realize that. James Irvin said something today in our chapel service. He was part of our student devotional series. He was saying, I really feel like our faith is shallow. He was talking about the light, us shining our light to people. Sometimes we put up walls so that our light won't shine to other people. I'd like to take that a step further. I think that our faith is shallow in that we spend too much time experiencing our own lives that we don't let God know who we are. Our faith is so shallow that we know God is there, but I don't think that we are transparent enough to give Him everything that we have. Even when we feel like we have nothing, I feel like we are so shallow in our faith that we can't give Him what little we have by just reaching out to His outstretched hand, because that's all it takes. But sometimes our faith is so shallow that all we want to do is just sit there and wallow in our own filth and despise, anger, frustration, whatever you want to call it. Jesus says that your faith can be strengthened. He can take your burden. He can carry your load. But all it takes is for you just come. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. There's no like prerequisites to for Jesus to bear your load. There's no qualifications for Jesus to bear your load as a Christian. There is no such thing. I want to ask just a few questions, and then I'm done. Should be on the next slide, I think. Yes. That's not questions at all. I lied. I was sitting and I was thinking, you know, when you prepare anything, a class or anything, you want to make sure that you understand the severity of it in terms of your knowledge. And so I did that. I sat down and I thought, do I believe that when I'm poor in spirit, do I believe that Jesus is there to strengthen me? Yeah, I do. When my spirit is poor, do I believe that Jesus is waiting there to share my burden with me? I do, yeah. But it's that last sentence that I feel like it's a hurdle. When I'm poor in spirit, will I let Jesus be my stronghold? Will I actually reach out my hand? Will I actually just make the effort to surrender what little I have left of my poor spirit Well, I give that to God. I said these out loud to myself. And I said that third one out loud, that when I'm poor, when my spirit is poor, Jesus will be my stronghold. I said that out loud, but I can't stand here and say that I believe that. Jesus will be my stronghold, and that He is able and willing to come and be that stronghold, but it's my end of the bargain that I'm not so sure about. It's me saying, yes, God, I take whatever little I have left, and please bear my burden with me. It's that pride that makes our faith so shallow, and it's that pride that sets us apart from being a Christian who lets Jesus be the strength when we are poor. Jesus gave us this opportunity when we're poor in strength when we're poor in spirit to ask for His strength, to ask for His help. And when we completely and utterly neglect that, we are wasting the best opportunity we can have in this world. We are wasting the best, loving, the most authentic relationship we could ever have by saying, Jesus, I can do this. So I want you to read that third sentence for yourself. When my spirit is poor, do I really believe that I will let Jesus be my stronghold? If you feel as though that you haven't let Jesus be your stronghold, you feel like maybe your heart has been calloused, maybe you feel that you've distanced yourself in your relationship with Jesus, know that you have a family. God has given you people where you can be lifted up in prayer and you can have a beautiful relationship with God. But just like Jesus says, come unto me. That's all it takes for Jesus to be the strength to your poor spirit. And if that's what you need tonight, I pray that you come while we stand and sing.